The reading today is from the Gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter 10, reading verses 35 to 45, and this can be found on page 846 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Mark 10, beginning at verse 35. Hear the word of God. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen. Thanks be to God.
Do you find it easy being served? Do you find it easy when there's someone to serve you? Now, sometimes the answer is going to be no. No names, no codes like that, but there are some shops you go into, they sell white goods and computers, and you can hunt for somebody to serve you all day, and you'll find it really hard to find someone to answer any questions about fridges or washing machines or computers. There's just no one there. So it's really hard to be served in those shops. But on the other hand, maybe you go into a furniture store or a car showroom, and you've taken like two steps in the door, and somebody's on your right. "Can we help you? What can we show you today? Would you like to buy something?" And you almost want to say to them, "Can you go away and leave me alone for 5 minutes till I look round and see what you've got, and then I'll come and find you and see if there's anything you can help me with." There's the two extremes in our shopping experience of being served. Is it easy to be served? Sometimes we have that strange notion, wouldn't life be good if we had servants? You know, somebody to tidy up in the kitchen after you. Indeed, somebody to just be in the kitchen and make all the meals and all the cups of tea and then tidy up after they'd made it for you. Someone to walk around after you and whatever you lay down, they would pick it up and put it where it should be. Sounds like a husband. Other options are available. I can only say that because I don't do any of those things. Actually, we think it might be quite hard to have servants in the house and people picking up and laying down after us. There are many accounts, many stories of the poor young boy who meets the heiress from the great house in the village and how he ends up making so many mistakes interacting with the servants. He introduces himself. He wants to talk to them and find out all about them. He notices they're there. Whereas the folks who've grown up in the big house, they just don't notice them at all and would never think of speaking with them. It's not easy to be served. Most of all, I think it's not easy to be served because we like to do things for ourselves. We want to have that sense of achievement, that sense of whatever we have, whatever we've done, we did it. Nobody else did it for us. And so we find it hard when someone offers to serve us. No, 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 it's okay, I can do it. I don't need any help. And we can refuse service and refuse offers of help because we imagine we can do it on our own. We think that that's the best way to be, is entirely self-sufficient. Turns out it isn't so easy after all being served. But that's what the gospel calls us to. The gospel calls us to let Jesus serve us. To let the uncreated God who has taken on our flesh and come down to be among us be our servant. Every instinct in us screams against this. Jesus is the king. He's the one in the highest place. But the gospel requires of us that we submit to Jesus being our servant. There's no other way to know Jesus. There's no other way to follow Jesus. There's no other way to come into his kingdom than to let him serve us. Well, as we heard in the reading earlier, James and John don't quite get that. James and John come to Jesus, and let's kind of paraphrase their question. Can we get the good seats? We want the best seats. And we want them just because we've asked you first. We've got in before these other 10. We've got in before everybody else in the crowd out there. Because we've got in first, because we've taken the initiative, because we've shown you we care enough to ask about the best seats, we want you to give them to us. It's a request filled with pride, with self-importance. They don't want to do anything other than be seen to be next to Jesus. They want to be seen to be near him so that others will say, gosh, look at them. They must be a great pair. Look at how close they are to Jesus. Their request when they come to Jesus resonates with our culture. It's about self-promotion. It's about putting yourself forward. You've got to be out there and put yourself in the place where you can get noticed. You've got to go to the right meetings. You've got to be at the right concerts or parties or events so that the important people will spot you. The whole thing becomes an exercise in self-promotion. I'm really great. Won't you notice me? It's all about getting ahead. Of course, the best seats are the best seats. And everybody should want them. And we need to make sure we're going to get them. We need to use whatever kind of advantage we can to make sure we get ahead. In other gospel accounts, it's not James and John who come with the request, it's their mother. Their mother trying to get her sons a step up, as it were. It's all about getting ahead. Getting for yourself. That's what it's all about. Here's a story. There was a king, and he was having his court this day, and he was on his throne, and all the courtiers were standing around, and people were coming in to ask for things, and the gardener came in, and the king called the gardener forward, and he was holding this enormous marrow, this huge vegetable. And the gardener said to the king, I've been a citizen in this kingdom all my life. I've been growing vegetables all my days. This is the finest marrow I've ever grown. And I wanted to bring it and give it to you because you're the king in the kingdom where I live. And the king was so impressed with the marrow, he took the marrow and he said to the gardener, You're obviously such a good gardener. I'm going to give you 10 other gardens that you can work in and grow vegetables and fruit in because you're such a fine gardener. And the gardener went away. And standing in the corner was a courtier who listened to what was going on, who paid attention to what was going on. One marrow, 10 gardens. And the next day, this courtier comes in with this fine horse. It's a white horse, and it's super good for riding off into battle. And he marches the horse right into the middle of the court, and the king notices him and comes down. And the courtier says, I've been in your court for a long time now, and you're a great king, and I brought this horse, and I want to give you this horse because you're such a great king. And the king said, thank you, and took the horse and walked away and never said anything else. And the courtier was standing shocked. And he's going, one marrow, 10 gardens, one horse, thank you. And the king looked round and saw his confusion and said to him, the gardener gave me the marrow. You're giving yourself the horse. You already knew what you wanted. And you thought one horse would get you 10 stables. Well, all it gets you is a thank you. Self-promotion doesn't always get us where we need to be. Doesn't always get us where we want to be. Jesus is the king on the throne. Jesus is the king in the kingdom. But he's a different kind of king. We're not going to get to be in Jesus' kingdom. We're not going to get to sit at the table with Jesus by treating him like some human king who's only interested in fawning courtiers or having gold and gifts showered upon him. Jesus is not going to treat us like some human king, dishing out rewards to the ones who please him. It's not how the kingdom of God works. We need to root out self-promotion. James and John showed us what we do far too often. We try and give things to Jesus, but in fact, we're giving them to ourselves. And that never works out well. When the 10 hear about James and John, as they do, small group, the word goes round, we're not happy about this. Indignant is the word. That's a kind of polite version for what they have in the Greek about the way the 10 were feeling when they hear about what James and John have done. But Jesus gathers them round and he explains some things to them. You need to let me serve you so that you can serve others, because that's how the kingdom of God works. Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to be a servant. If you want to be first, you have to be a slave. Not just a servant, a slave, bound over to serve others. That's how you get to be first. Jesus says, the focus in the kingdom of God is on serving others. It's not on promoting yourself. It is on serving others. Jesus says, this is how I have lived among you. I left behind the glory of heaven and took on the form of a servant. Haven't you got it yet? This is what the kingdom of God is like. I am the king in the kingdom, and I have come to serve you. How do you think you're going to get into the kingdom by serving yourself? How do you think that's going to work? Jesus, in his conversation with James and John, had said to them about a cup that had to be drunk and a baptism that had to be baptized with. Both of those pictures come to the same thing. Jesus is saying, very soon before me is the cross. Betrayal by a friend, arrest, trial, beaten, crucified, buried, dead. That's what's lying before me. That's the cup. That's the baptism. This is what I have to endure. This is what I have to drink. This is what I have to be immersed in. And if you're going to sit in seats in my kingdom, you're going to have to share in that. You're going to have to share in the cross. Or there's no seat for you in my kingdom. James and John don't get what he's talking about. Oh, yes, we can do that. We can drink out a cup. We can be baptized. It's not what he's talking about. And Jesus says, okay, you will. And they did. A share in the cross in order to get a seat in the kingdom. Jesus is the servant king. He is the one who has come to serve others. And he calls men and women to himself, not so that they would serve him, but so that they would join him in serving others. That's how the kingdom of God works. God loves the whole world. He wants to bless and serve everyone in the world. And the way he's going to do that is call men and women to Jesus and send them out to serve others. Every other, every neighbor, every person in need, go and serve others. Jesus finishes this passage with one of the key verses in the whole gospel account. Son of man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What an inversion of what we think kingdom and kingly reign is about. We think being king must be great. You've got all these servants running about. Jesus says, I'm the king, but I came to serve. The only reason I'm sitting on the throne is so that I can serve others. And the way I'm going to serve others is by giving my life as a ransom for many. The life of Jesus is the purchase price for your life and mine. The price that pays to buy us back from the prison of sin and death and hell in which we're all trapped. The purchase price offered to God to secure our forgiveness and our salvation. Jesus gave his life, his whole life, a ransom for many. That's the order of Jesus' kingdom. And if you want to sit in the seats in Jesus' kingdom, that's the order of our life as well. Immediately after this story, Jesus goes to Jericho, goes through Jericho and up the hill to Bethany, and so Holy Week begins. Just a few days after this story, just a few days, hardly a week, Jesus will gather these same disciples in an upper room. He will take off his clothes, tie a towel around his waist, and he'll wash their feet. The order of the kingdom right there. A feet-washing king. A dying servant who serves in his dying. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. Will you let this Jesus serve you? Will you let Jesus, in his death, purchase your forgiveness? Because you can't buy it yourself. In his death, will you let Jesus secure your forgiveness with God? Your welcome into his kingdom? Because there's no other way you can achieve that. No amount of self-promotion, no amount of self-service can do that. Only letting Jesus serve you. That's what he's saying to you here in this passage. That's what he's saying this Lent. I have come to be your servant king. Will you let me? Will you let me serve you? Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you. We bow before you in amazement, in wonder, in love, that this is the plan, this is the way you have pleased to save us. You have sent Jesus to be our servant. Tear away from us any thought of serving ourselves. Tear away from us any thought of promoting ourselves. And burn within us a great desire to depend upon Jesus, to let him serve us. And as we receive that service of Jesus for us, transform our lives, that we might live to serve one another, to serve every other, for the glory of your kingdom. Be at work among us, we pray. Amen.